Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It's our Blues Report with Chris Raby. And as always, Chris will have the intermissions, post-game, pre-game on KMOX and the Blues Radio Network. And this is presented by Henderson and Watercutty, STLCriminalDefense.com, STLCriminalDefense.com. Any offense, no matter how big or small, they can help you. They're there 24/7, and their website has the most commonly asked questions for simple things, traffic violations, tickets, on to major things that happen in both the state of Missouri and Illinois. And that's STLCriminalDefense.com. So here we are, Chris, game five. But I want to go back to a moment, for a moment, to game number four, which was, and I tweeted this out.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was one of the best, if not the best, sporting event I've ever been to in my life. Now, maybe part of that is because I was there with my three kids. It was the first ever win in the Stanley Cup Finals at home. And just seeing the whole thing come about at Enterprise Center, game presentation, the hockey was just incredible. I thought it was incredible. Having done the Blues for over 10 years and seen big games, big plays, big players, great players in this game and stars, it was one of the best hockey games I've ever seen in my life in person. It was incredible. Everything was incredible, and the win was the cherry on top. It was just a remarkable night.
You know, somebody asked me last week, Dan, when I mentioned that we were broadcasting from the watch parties when the Blues were in Boston, why 18,000 people were filling up an arena to watch a game on a Jumbotron. It's a shared experience, man.
Yep.
And the things that this organization has done for decades for this city, but the things that this ownership group, this team, this group of alumni, guys like you and Curbs and Chaser and John Kelly and Panger, just it never ends. And people are finally getting to celebrate that. Whether you are fortunate enough to get to a game, or if you're watching at Ballpark Village, or if you're watching, you know, FaceTiming your dad across the country, whatever, man. It's just, it's a shared experience. And like you said, it shouldn't be the cherry on top, but it almost feels like the cherry on top that the Blues just keep playing better and better and better hockey. And they keep finding a way, and they keep adjusting, and they keep making improvements. And in the biggest moments, they keep showing up. And that's the reason why nothing really surprises me anymore. Things impress me. The way that they bounce back impresses me. But it certainly doesn't surprise me, but that was unbelievable the other night.
I didn't realize, and it pertains to game number five coming up later tonight, how good Ryan O'Reilly really is. I didn't realize it until I told my kids. I said, watch that guy right there. He's really good. You know, my kids are young, and they're just figuring out the game and enjoying it, and they have their favorite stars like Tarasenko, and they want to see a fight and blood on the ice. But I said,
I saw that.
Yeah.
I said,
watch this guy. He's really good. And the way that he was able to neutralize the speed of the opposition, and I'm not talking about what he did offensively, but how he's able to hold up a guy in the neutral zone, and his forecheck is amazing. He's an incredible talent, obviously a grinder. And a guy that, you know, by all accounts is probably battling through a lot of different things here going into game number five, just like every other player, and you wouldn't even know it. That performance that he had in game four was remarkable.
You know, it's funny you say that, because one of my favorite things to do is to watch him on the ice when he doesn't have the puck. And when the puck is on the other side of the ice, or he's in on the forecheck. He does so many things. Look at, for instance, the, you know, 3 minutes the Blues spent in the offensive zone, which is, I think, some of the most exciting, emotional 3 minutes of a sporting event
Incredible.
I can ever think of.
Right.
And the things that he does to keep plays going, the energy that the rest of his teammates feed off, the example that he sets. And, you know, we don't have to beat to death the fact that he's the last guy on the ice at practice, or he's, you know, out there on optionals, whatever. He puts the work in. And you know from seeing athletes that there are guys like that who, when you combine that with incredible natural ability, it makes them one of the best in the entire league. And I shudder to think where this team would have been in January when the calendar turned if he had not been acquired over the summer. And he has just been an incredible leader, player, teammate. It's remarkable. So for me, in terms of all-around players, he's one of the best in the league. I think he should win the Selke. I'm obviously biased, but man, it was great to see him get rewarded with a couple of goals, because that was literally the only thing that, from, I guess, a stat sheet standpoint, hadn't really been showing up. Yeah.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
That's Chris Raby. I'm Dan McLaughlin. This is Scoops with DannyMac.com, and we're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios, and this is presented by Henderson and Watercutty. Describe what I'm about to play for our listeners. You really dove into the numbers of the first four games leading into this contest tonight.
Yeah, so if you look at historically over the last 10 years, 20 years, but I looked at the last 10 years, teams that win the Stanley Cup, what you have to do in the playoffs from a penalty kill standpoint, what you have to do on a power play standpoint, what the Blues have done, and if we're overreacting to any of those numbers because of circumstance or maybe because of one, two, or three games. We got a sample size of more than 20 games. But this is a look at some of the special teams numbers, and also with Zdeno Chara's status still up in the air, what the loss of Chara could mean for Boston, but more importantly, for the Blues.
Throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the Stanley Cup final, the St. Louis Blues have been at their best when they're even, when they're playing 5-on-5. The Blues, the most goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 5-on-5, 49 of them, while giving up 37, a +12 advantage. 38 goals while giving up 31, 5-on-5, for the Boston Bruins. Blues head coach Craig Berube pointed out after Game 3, a loss at home on Saturday to the Bruins, where the Blues were penalized 7 times and Boston was 4-for-4 on the power play, that his team had been the least penalized team in the postseason until the final.
We're the least penalized team in the league in the first 3 rounds, and now all of a sudden we've taken 14 penalties in the one series, so I don't know. I don't buy into all that, to be honest with you. I think that we can definitely be more composed after the whistle. I think we've let, you know, some frustration get in there where we're maybe do too much after the whistle. So we'll clean that up for sure. But like I said, we're the least penalized team in the league coming into this series. So, you know, I don't agree with all the calls.
And in fact, they had been. The Blues have been penalized 20 times in 4 games against Boston, 17 times in games 1, 2, and 3. In games 1 and 2, Boston had 5 power plays, and the Blues, on the road, were able to kill 4 of 5 in each game, a loss in game 1 and a win in game 2 in overtime. In game 3, the Bruins' power play attacked. 7 Blues penalties led to 4 Boston power plays. The Bruins scored 4 times, scoring on the first shot in each of their man advantage situations, and needing just 2 minutes and 6 seconds, 126 total seconds combined of power play time to net the 4 goals. Prior to the Stanley Cup final, the Blues penalized just 55 times in 19 games. The team that had been penalized second fewest per game, the Boston Bruins. So what role could special teams play for the rest of this series? Well, let's take a look at the numbers. Over the last 10 years, the team that has won the Stanley Cup, on average, throughout the postseason, has posted a penalty kill with a success rate of 84.09% and a power play with a success rate of 19.33%. Right now, the Boston Bruins are posting eye-popping numbers, a penalty kill that is successful 87.5% of the time. Compared to the last 10 Stanley Cup champions, that 87.5% rate throughout the playoffs is third, only to the Chicago Blackhawks' 90.8% when they beat, that's right, the Bruins in 2013 and the LA Kings' 92.1% the year prior. And their own advantage on the power play cashes in at a rate of 34.8%. The Blues, meanwhile, are killing 73.7% of their penalties and scoring on the power play just 17.3% of the time. Zdeno Chara was struck with a puck in the face in the Game 4 loss to the Blues at Enterprise Center, and his status remains up in the air. No official comment from the club, but there are reports from media outlets in and around the Bruins that Chara may have suffered a broken jaw and could miss the rest of the series. What impact could that have on special teams? Well, a lot. Chara, who is now north of 40 years old and perhaps is not the player that he was a decade ago, or when the Boston Bruins won their last Stanley Cup, is still a factor on the penalty kill, logging 189 minutes of shorthanded time on the ice this season for Boston, second only to defenseman Carlo, but easily the most per game of any Bruin. Chara was second on the Bruins in total blocked shots this year, and he led the team shorthanded in both hits and blocked shots. His partner is Charlie McAvoy, who has been one of the most effective defensemen for the Bruins throughout the postseason. If Chara is sidelined and unable to play the rest of this series, that makes a trio of talented Bruins defenders who will be unavailable for head coach Bruce Cassidy, as Matt Greslick and Kevin Miller are also on the shelf. On Tuesday, Cassidy discussed the possibility of dressing seven defensemen, which could mean that a forward, perhaps David Backes, could be on the sideline watching from the press box. Cassidy also mentioned the possibility of starting one of the Black Aces, a Providence Bruin who has not seen playoff time. In any event, Chara's absence could mean more success for the Blues on the power play, dragging their 17.3% success rate up closer to the average of 19.33% of the past 10 Stanley Cup winners. And if the Blues continue to play like they did in Game 4's win, that could mean less penalties and fewer minutes to chase Boston's electric and dangerous power play around the ice. In my opinion, the Blues have been the better team 5-on-5 in this series. If they can continue to be so and can continue to be so early, that could lead to good things, because the team that's best early is often having the most success throughout the postseason. The Blues are 8-1 when leading after two periods. The Bruins, 12-0. These Stanley Cup playoffs. Game 5 is Thursday night in Boston. And one thing's for certain that no numbers can dispel, the Stanley Cup will be in the building at Enterprise Center on Sunday night for Game 6. For Scoops with DannyMac.com, I'm Chris Raby.
So, I think that despite the fact that special teams, Dan, haven't been the Blues' maybe forte to this point, I think two things. I think no Chara would mean more success in the Blues' power play. And I think that fewer penalties and more of what we've seen the first three rounds, if you believe, like Craig Berube, the first three games of this series were an aberration, would be more 5-on-5, and I think the Blues have been the better team 5-on-5 in this series.
That was a fabulous piece you put together. You're to be commended. This is presented by Henderson & Watercutty, law firm based in St. Louis, helping folks here in Missouri and Illinois, no matter the offense, no matter how small, no matter how big, they can help you out. STLCriminalDefense.com. When you did those numbers and you looked at the absence of Chara, what was the one thing that stood out for you mostly in looking at breaking down the last 10 years?
The last 10 years is that you've got a penalty kill. Yeah. And there have been teams that...
Totally agree.
There have been teams that maybe the power play is up and down. Maybe you have a ton of power plays. Maybe some of that is skewed because you're up late in games, like the Blackhawks and the Kings when they were steamrolling teams, and other teams are taking penalties in frustration. And you're milking the clock more than anything, but you've got to kill penalties. That is what every great team does, and it also means you've probably got a pretty darn good goalie. The Blues have been able to do that, but Boston's a different beast, especially on the road. They're at 40% on the power play on the road in these playoffs, so got to stay 5-on-5, and the Blues are at their best. They're playing aggressive, but they're playing aggressively with discipline. And if you do that the next three games or two games, I think you'll be just fine.
All right, prediction time. What do you got for tonight?
It's a great question. I'll say this. I don't know who wins tonight, but I think we'll see the best game from both teams tonight of the series. Not to dodge the question.
But you just did.
Well, because I want to give Boston credit, right? Like, Bruins fans probably watched Game 3 and said, we're going to win Game 4. Blues fans probably watched Game 4 and said, we're going to win Game 5. Sometimes you play a great game and you lose. But I think they'll play a great game. In my gut, though, I really believe the only way that this season and this story can end is winning on Sunday at home.
Right.
And that means you've got to win tonight.
Right.
So, you know, if I had to make a pick, I guess I'd say they'll probably win tonight because why wouldn't they? That's
right.
Just how it's gone all year. They've been at their best on the road. They're 6-1 this year in games 5, 6, and 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So they've done it, man, and why wouldn't they just continue to do it and set that up on Sunday for potentially the biggest sports day in the history of this city?
Be unbelievable. Chris Raby, Dan McLaughlin, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and our Blues Reports presented by Henderson and Watercutty.